Welcome to The Operative Word, a podcast brought to you by the Journal of the American College of Surgeons. I'm Dr. Jamie Coleman, and throughout this series, Dr. Dante Yeh and I will speak with recently published authors about the motivation behind their latest research and the clinical implications it has for the practicing surgeon. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the participants and not necessarily that of the American College of Surgeons.
Welcome to The Operative Word, a podcast from the Journal of the American College of Surgeons. I'm Dr. Jamie Coleman, one of your hosts for this series. In this episode, I am joined by Dr. Clayton Brinster, and we will be taking an in-depth look into his current article, Severe Increase in Nursing Labor Cost and Effect on Surgical Department Financial Margins at an Academic Tertiary Medical Center. Dr. Brinster is a senior staff surgeon in vascular surgery and the director of the Ochsner Aortic Center at Ochsner Health in New Orleans. Dr. Brinster, welcome to The Operative Word.
Thank you very much. And like we were previously discussing, it's really an honor to be invited, and I hope to provide some insight into a very challenging topic.
Oh, definitely. I can't wait to dive in on this, actually. But before we do that, do you have any conflicts of interest you'd like to disclose?
No, I have no relevant financial conflicts of interest.
Perfect. Well, congratulations to you on both the presentation at the Southern Surgical Association and this publication, and even just more kudos for tackling a topic that really has impacted every single surgeon, regardless of your specialty, regardless of your practice setting. Because listeners, today we are talking nursing shortages, something I think all of us have felt, and really an issue that's been felt at every level within our healthcare system, from our patients to our nurses to the physicians, and definitely to the administrators. To provide a statistic from your paper, national healthcare employment has dropped by over 550,000 people, with nursing and residential care facilities comprising about 4/5 of that loss. That is just an incredible and sad statistic. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this. And so for our members who, or our listeners who may not have had a moment to read your paper yet, let's just kind of step back and talk about the framework and methodology of your study. So you looked at nursing costs and its impact on your financial margins within the surgery department. And you compared two periods of time, pre-COVID, which was January 2019 to February 2020, and then COVID, which was March 2020 to December 2021. So let's kind of break those two chunks of data down. Let's start out with the nursing costs. Can you tell us a little bit? You had a very detailed methodology. Can you please share with us a bit on that?
Well, sure. I think initially, just for a little bit of background about how we came to investigate this topic in the manner we did, Ochsner Health is in New Orleans, Louisiana. And if we can remember back what seems like many years ago, at the very beginning of the pandemic, New Orleans was disproportionately affected by the first wave of COVID infection. It was one of the three cities, primarily, I think, with New York and Seattle, that really were the first major cities to be inundated with COVID infections and have ICUs and ERs overrun. And so early in the pandemic, as we all remember, elective surgeries were severely restricted by the American College and by other governing bodies. And so when those restrictions were lifted initially 3 months after the pandemic was declared by the U.S. government, we became interested in the financial losses for our vascular surgery division only. And when we looked at that, we saw a severe dip, of course, during the period when there was elective restriction, but a return to normal, in fact, sometimes higher volume in the months directly after those restrictions were lifted. And so when we first put some data out examining just pure financial revenues, margins, deficits caused by the lack of elective surgery in those first 3 months, what we saw was that we'd evened out pretty much about 6 months after the pandemic it started. And we did a brief calculation based on some other studies we saw in some of our own metrics to calculate how much of an RVU overage per month it would take to recoup that data. And in short, it would take a very long time. Severe our view, overages of 5 and 10%, both were years-long processes to recoup what we lost in just 3 months. But
wow.
When we looked at extending that data for the manuscript, which by my own fault took a little bit of time to get going, what we saw was that our RVU generation was consistent. However, after a brief return to normal values of margins, with consistent RVU generation up to a year or two after that initial, or I guess a year to 18 months after that initial deluge of COVID and restrictions, we saw that there was a gradual erosion of overall surgical margin, financial margin within the vascular surgery division here at Ochsner, starting really in the beginning of 2021. So it was a little bit of a puzzling result because every month we had met our pre-pandemic metric for RVUs, or in many cases, there were overages each month, and still our financial margin was deteriorating. And so with Thomas Eskus, who is a MBA, works here at Ochsner, carefully analyzing and tracking financial metrics within the surgery departments, he and I looked very closely at what was happening, and we saw a very obvious increase in labor expenses, particularly nursing labor expenses, which arose not only from nurses requiring more pay because more and more nurses were affected with COVID and taking mandatory leaves and quarantines, but because there was such a rearrangement of the actual labor force that agency nurses were being employed in a way that we'd never experienced before. And the average labor expenditure for the hospital and nursing rose astronomically, as we saw, and I quoted in the paper. And so when we looked into the proper methodology, to get back to your original question about how to properly analyze this, basically we tracked nursing expenses, and nursing expenses were tracked on a daily basis in our institution by a combination of artificial intelligence and also a daily record, a daily monitor that was kept on a per unit basis. And so we could see, based on the way Ochsner tracks data, which nurses are in which respective units and how many of those nurses were Ochsner employed nurses and how many were agency nurses. And so we had not only the total cost of nursing, we had the number of nurses per shift, per unit, and the number of agency nurses per unit, per shift. And that was tracked in an ongoing daily basis. And so it was the careful organization and analysis of that data that allowed us to look back and look at real numbers. And I should mention that, in contradistinction to a lot of financial studies which take place, we did have access to the actual contractual numbers that were paid, not just estimates, both for the cost and also for RVU. Most of our patients, as many medical centers, are Medicare patients. Right. And so many institutions rely on administrative projections or Medicare estimates for that denominator. However, we have access to the real numbers at Ochsner, which is a benefit, so we can predict and analyze what's actually happening.
And that's a huge variable for so many centers. And I think it was just, it helps really put these findings into context when you realize these are real numbers. These aren't, like you said, this isn't just a projection or an estimate. And so tell us a little bit then about how you calculated your financial margins.
Well, the margins are tracked in the same way. So we have access to the real accounting and billing numbers. And like I mentioned, and you just acknowledged that, it was really startling to us when we saw the actual revenue. We analyzed net revenue right on a monthly basis, and that has to do with RVU generation and cost as well. The majority of that was labor cost that was increasing here. Of course, there are other costs such as equipment, transport, all sorts of other silos. But when you look at the data from our paper, the major increase in the bulk of the costs that we were fighting that were eroding the financial margins was an increase in surgical nursing labor per month. To standardize that, just as you mentioned, although Medicare is an umbrella organization, of course, there is a major variability in costs and and margins in different regions. And so to reduce the subjectivity of it, and I'm sure we'll come back to this topic, we compared these numbers and standardized them on an RVU basis, because the RVU is not something that varies from region to region, from health center to health center. And so when we really, that was really, I think, the most powerful data, or some of the most powerful data that we shared, because the RVU is a universal standard around the country.
Agreed. This really took it and broke down the problem in a way that with your dollar or your cost per RVU, which we're going to talk about in a second, because I want you to summarize your finding for us, but it really contextualized it, and it, but it made it something that anyone picking up this paper can read, and it translates to their center. So I thought that, I agree. I thought the way that you all really broke this down and presented it just made this such an important and translatable paper. So yeah, let's go ahead and dive into that. Let's dive into the findings. So what'd you find? So you looked at how much nursing was costing you. You looked at how that impacted your margins, your bottom line in the surgery department. How bad was it?
Well, it was pretty severe. And as you can see from the paper, I think I could direct people, if they have access to it or want to write it down, table one really summarizes the major metrics that we looked at. And when we looked, as you mentioned, we compared a 14-month pre-COVID cohort to a 21-month COVID cohort, which started at the beginning of the pandemic. And when we broke those numbers down, we saw on a per month basis, surgical nursing labor increased by 17%. And so I think when you're in science and medicine, you hear percentages, you're not really sure what they mean. But when I was learning about this topic early in the pandemic, it occurred to me that that is an astronomical number, because when you think of how many health systems, most health systems operate, most are between a negative 3% and a positive 3% operating margin in any given year. And in fact, the average operating margin for U.S. hospitals and health centers before the pandemic was about a positive 1.5%. Wow. So when you have a major silo of cost that increases 17%, that's startling. That really, I think, puts fear into the administrators and government officials as well. And so combined with that increase, we saw when we compared pre-COVID to COVID periods, we saw that the departmental, and that is Department of Surgery, not including subspecialties such as orthopedics, neurosurgery, and others, but yes, including urology, plastic surgery, vascular, cardiovascular, colorectal, acute care surgery. When we looked at that, we saw that the financial margin within the department had decreased 11% when we compared those two cohorts. Again, both of those values were significant based on statistical analysis, and both are really pretty startling numbers when you compare those to the operating margins we just discussed. When we looked at the RVU generation of the entire department, we found that while there was a slight drop off when we compared the two cohorts, it was not statistically significant. And so we knew that there was a reason besides a decreased RVU generation per month, which was not significant compared with the strongly significant values of increased surgical nursing labor and deteriorating departmental financial margin per month. As we were just talking about, when we looked at the surgical nursing expense per RVU, which I have to give credit to Dr. Sam Money, who that was really his idea to look at that as a standard benchmark to make our data more translatable. We saw a staggering increase that was statistically significant in nursing expense per RVU. And this is in the face of insignificant or non-significant changes, I should say, between the two cohorts of traditional metrics, which can affect revenue. And those include things we're all familiar with, like length of stay per case, case mix index, which is determined by standard metrics, and the case volume per month. And none of those three was statistically significant. So what that basically means in a nutshell is that the traditional metrics, RVU generation, length of stay per case, case mix severity index, and case volume per month did not change significantly when we looked at the two cohorts. But what did change in a startling fashion were the two metrics we just discussed, surgical nursing labor per month and the financial labor per month, with labor getting much more costly and margin gradually being eroded.
And just to drop some numbers in here from your paper, you had an average monthly increase of $330,000 in nursing expenses, which correct. Represented an additional $1,243 per case. And in terms of this cost per RVU, cost per RVU went from $110 to $148 in the COVID era. And again, you're like, oh, okay, $38, but $38 per RVU. I mean, that's just an astronomical cost. And you also included system-wide data on this as to what drove it. And one of the things that you mentioned that agency-related nursing costs increased from $5.1 to $13.5 million per month in 2021 compared to even 2020. So this problem didn't just show up and it went away. It's still here. And when you start thinking about these numbers, you're talking about 17% for these margins. This is clearly unsustainable. So what has happened in your institution? What sort of solutions have you found or are you working on? What sort of changes have been made in your location to help with this?
The numbers you mentioned there are staggering, really. Like you mentioned, nursing costs, about $5 million per month during the first year of the pandemic. So that's an increase from prior to the initiation of the pandemic. Right. Costing an additional over $100 million for the health center in 2021 on agency nursing labor. I mean, that's really a staggering number. Initiatives have been taken throughout the pandemic to try to limit that increase. However, with the emphasis on patient care and being the largest health system in the Gulf South and one of only two really big tertiary care centers in this region, the other being LSU's hospital, patient care was always first, and we were always taking COVID patients from around the region and taking the most acute tertiary cases from all over the Gulf South, of course. But now that the pandemic has waned, and I should mention that when we looked at these numbers, every number, every metric was intensified and followed waves of COVID in the region as we tracked with public health data. So there really can be no doubt that there's a direct causal relationship here. But when we think about where Ochsner is going from here, I've alluded to a little bit before, we've used to increase the sophistication of labor deployment and redeployment in the hospital. We have utilized several different types of artificial intelligence and machine learning to predict case positivity in the community, case positivity in the ER, case positivity requiring ICU care, case positivity requiring intubation. And there is kind of a standard stereotypical progression and relationship between all those numbers that we've used to strategically allocate labor through the pandemic. It's less an issue now when we're not tracking daily ICU census, right, daily intubation census through the health center, but at the peak of the pandemic and when Delta resurged, which required many intubations, Omicron not so much. But with each of those, we were able to more accurately deploy the required labor rather than undercutting it, or worse from a financial standpoint, over-assigning very expensive, very highly skilled nursing care in the ICUs. And so that was one major difference that helped us kind of shave some of the agency cost off. However, I should mention that a lot of this labor cost is coming from the most highly skilled nurses who populate the ER, the ICU, and the OR. And that was one major initiative that has helped us recoup a little bit. And at this point, we're employing less and less agency nursing labor in the health system as quite frankly, demands go down. However, we're still really in the red in terms of labor expenditure versus margin throughout the health system. I think many large referral health systems are still experiencing this. And these facts just go to show that this is not a new concept of nursing labor shortage and very expensive, highly skilled nursing labor. In fact, it's been kind of burgeoning and snowballing, if you will, for the past decade or so, as more and more nurses enter graduate training, nurse anesthetist training, other graduate types of training to further their careers. And many nurses are retiring as well. And I'd say somewhere in the paper, that they're predicted to be about 1 million nurses required from the American nursing workforces between 2020 and 2030. And those are not young, out of school, inexperienced, just out of school, more inexperienced nurses. Those are probably the most highly skilled and most knowledgeable nurses in the field. Those people are going to be very difficult to replace, and it won't be cheap. And so there's been an ongoing nursing shortage since the late 20th century that, quite frankly, really hasn't been addressed. And the head of the ANA recently encouraged the U.S. Department of Health to declare an emergency based on the nursing shortage. Yes. And that was early in the pandemic, and that was based on pre-pandemic figures. So the bottom line there is that this is not a new problem. It's decades long in evolution, and it simply was intensified very rapidly by the pandemic.
Well, it's definitely not a new problem, but your paper definitely shined a new light and provided a new perspective with some really great data. And thank you so much, Dr. Brunster, for taking the time to discuss your article with us. And thank you to our listeners as well. If you have any feedback for us here at The Operative Word, please drop us a line at postmaster@facs.org.
Thank you for listening to the Journal of the American College of Surgeons Operative Word podcast. If you've enjoyed today's episode, spread the word on social media by using the hashtag JACSOperativeWord. Subscribe to The Operative Word wherever podcasts are available, or listen on the American College of Surgeons website at facs.org/podcast.